B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
The best show on earth. I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk. Ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up. Mike's ready.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, right here on NBC Sports Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. And some news today, huh? Well, something I never thought would happen. But the Phillies have acted. Now, Charlie Manuel comes in as the hitting coach, John Malley out. You know, the thing about a move like this is that no one in the fan base can say this is a wrong move, right? It's like total protection that the Phillies make a move like this because nobody could possibly be against it. They don't know from John Malley. They don't know whether it was the hitter's fault or whether it was the hitting coach's fault. So now here comes Charlie Manuel, beloved by everybody, who knows his hitting. It's a no-brain move. My only thing was, I never thought they'd have the guts to do it. In fact, I still don't think the front office has the guts to do it. You know who did it? I think Mr. Owner got a little hot and bothered, John Middleton, and he made a, a rather spirited call to Andy McPhail and said, something's got to be done. I'm losing my fan base. And voila. Here comes Charlie Manuel. Now, think about what spot this puts Gabe Kapler in. This is the last thing Gabe Kapler wanted, right? Because now he's got an old school guy who was successful in this town looking over his shoulder. And I never thought that Kapler was in danger of losing his job. But now that they made this move, what's to stop the owner at the end of the year if things don't settle down? And they do limp out of here, finishing fourth. What's to stop the owner from saying, you got to make the big change now? I didn't think this happened. I thought that Middleton stayed away, believing in his guys, gave him a contract extension. But there's no question in my mind that that was an angry phone call after that last series. And something needed to be done. Now, I've tried to get John Middleton on today. I've been told that he is unavailable. So that's not totally unexpected. But, you know, we can hypothesize all we want. There is, you cannot convince me that Matt Klentak took an inventory of this and is going to bring in a guy who he kind of removed at an arm's length from this new organization. But you had to keep Charlie around, right? Because he's a classic Philly name. There's no way that Klentak's going to endorse him being in the dugout looking over the shoulder of his handpicked manager. So we can talk about that and among other things today on the show. Tyrone, when you first heard it this morning, what was your reaction?
First, I was shocked just like you were because I thought the same thing. There's no way. These guys are in lockstep, I believe, especially the GM and the manager. They're in lockstep. They agree. They think this is the right approach. And it's everybody else's fault that it hasn't been working. And the owner is basically saying it's not just the player's fault. When the owner makes this statement, he's basically saying, I don't think it's just the players. It's something else. And then the second stage was happy after the surprise because I think a good, kind of like this show, it's different generations, different point of views because just different approaches. I think that being too in lockstep with something when you're not a proven winner is a negative. So I like the mix of the analytics with the old school baseball. I think this is a situation that could actually work if the manager and the GM embrace it.
Well, how about the hitting coach and the manager? Because you know that Charlie Manuel is probably an eye roller when it comes to Gabe Kapler and his moves and his lineups and all that stuff. He doesn't play the way Gabe Kapler plays. So what's that dynamic going to be like? Is that going to be better for the team or worse for the team? Does it disjoint them now where you get people siding with Manuel and ignoring the manager completely?
That's where you have to be a leader, though. And you've talked about how sometimes you've had managers, because you're a baseball guy, that you hated. And sometimes you can be united in your hate for a person. And for a short amount of time, and we're only talking about six, seven weeks, that can unite a team.
Hating a guy is different than respecting a guy, though.
That's a good
point.
See,
the guys that you hate were the guys that drove you to be better players. So it, inside there was a respect for it. Now, that respect wouldn't serve until later, but there was a respect that the guy knew what he was doing. This team, I don't think, thinks that Gabe Kapler knows what he's doing. So I don't think that that thing that's the united and hate against the manager works for a baseball team in this situation. I will say this about Charlie Manuel in the hitting. Now, we'll find out. I don't think it's going to substantially improve the hitting for the end of the year. I just think it's too late, and now these guys are confused. And what Charlie Manuel does that John Malley doesn't do, John Malley was always in your head. He coached hitting, be in your head, be selectively aggressive, right? And that word selectively, when it comes in front of aggressive, makes you selective and not aggressive. Charlie Manuel is the exact opposite. Charlie Manuel will convince you that you're a good hitter when you're really not a good hitter. He's a guy that's in your ear, son, you're a good hitter. Son, you're getting good wood on the ball. So what he does is, he says, you're a good hitter, go up and hit. He doesn't get wrapped into technicalities because he knows that the more you clutter a hitter's brain, the worse he's going to be. So he's never going to say, you stink. And he's never going to say, I need you to take more pitches. He's going to say, go up and hit. I believe in you. I'll put you in a lineup because I believe in you. And sometimes that frees a guy. So in this situation, we'll see if it frees these guys who have been struggling, especially Rhys Hoskins, who's in total need of a Charlie right now. And Charlie's got to work on him mentally. Son, you're a good hitter. You're about to get hot. You know, that's what he does.
I also think Jetpacks, who has actually been in a pretty prolonged slump, he's a guy who wants to see the ball, hit the ball. I think Charlie can help with him, too. You see a fastball, son? Just swing. I don't need you taking a bunch of pitches. Go hit the ball.
Yes. All right, and we're going to talk some baseball today because this is also the 25th anniversary of the strike. I hardly remember the strike except for the fact that I tried out for the replacement team.
You crossed the picket line.
The, the strike itself, I don't think, like, you think the strike ruined baseball.
I absolutely do.
And a lot of people share that. A lot of people say, well, they didn't care about the fans one whit when they went out on strike. And so fans, it took a while for fans to come back to the game, right?
Yep.
So, and that strike did that to you.
Yeah, because at the time, remember, 93 Phillies happened the year before. I'm a kid. I understand the game. I'm into the game. At that point, it was NBA because I've always been a basketball guy first. Mm-hmm. But then it was baseball followed by NFL, NHL in that order. After the strike, the NFL went ahead and it never relinquished that control. And it had to do with the strike.
Why did baseball do that to you? Why did the strike do that to you? Because at the time, I can remember that the fans were livid that they went out on a strike because they thought they were making enough money. How dare these millionaires go out on strike? Now it's like out of control, totally out of control. Nobody cares about it. So why did you care back then?
Back then, I didn't actually blame the players. Back then, even then, I blamed the owners for not giving the players money. But what made me mad was, and when you grow up as a kid, the old school baseball guys, they still do it a lot. They talk about numbers. And then they talk about these mythical players who either didn't play against minority players or all these other things. So in my mind, I couldn't connect with any of them. But now you have Tony Gwynn might bat 400. I remember this as a kid. And in my mind, remember, I'm jumping to conclusions.
Because that year was a good year offensively for some people.
A bunch of people.
Yeah.
The home run record might have gotten broken. Matt Williams, Ken Griffey Jr., they were ahead of the home run record. Uh-huh. Joe Carter, even though I hated him, he was going to break the RBI record. The Expos was a great story. In my mind, that was a magical year in baseball that was about to happen. And all those things that were on the borderline, they were all going to happen. Yeah. Like, I was just jumping to it. Oh, yeah, it's going to happen.
I was in my second year being a sports talk host, and I didn't think anything of it, to be honest with you, because I had Randall. I had Randall as a sports talk host. As long as I had Randall, I could have done without baseball. We weren't talking about it anyway. But, that was the year. Yeah, technically, I didn't cross the picket line because that's a Fugazi union. That's not really a union.
No, you're right. I was joking when I said that.
Yeah, I had no problem. Yeah, I did it for a shtick, really. I mean, I was a sports talk host. I was still kind of playing in leagues, but I didn't expect that I was going to make the replacement with you. I went down there on a kind of a lark because I was dared to go there.
What did you have to try out for a certain position?
No, they kind of, there were a lot of people there. So if you were an infielder, they put you through infield drills and then, you know, you hit and, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't think that they actually selected anybody. I thought they thought the whole thing was a scam anyway. So the coaches that were a part of it really weren't invested in it anyway.
Right. Like
they weren't trying to discover a gem, right? to field a replacement team, because they knew that could never happen.
The Vince Papale of baseball.
They tried to convince the players, see, we're going to field replacement teams, and the players laughed at it. And basically, they called their bluff. And that's the way it worked out. They settled in. When did they settle? In April?
Yeah.
Next year?
Yeah, it was a long strike, yeah. And obviously, the biggest thing was the World Series got canceled.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm old enough to where I'm allowed to stay up and watch all the games.
Yeah.
And they don't have one.
Yeah, I blew up my whole spot down there because my buddy was already down there. My buddy Marty was a cameraman. And he was down there already, I think, maybe the fantasy camp was down there or something. But he was down there. And I called him. I said, listen, I'm taking an 8:30 flight. This was right after my show. I went home. I packed my gear. I got to the airport. Somebody gave me a ticket. I said, I'm coming in. Can you pick me up at the Tampa airport? He says, yeah. So he picks me up at the Tampa airport like 10:30. He goes, all right, let's go get a couple drinks. I got to do it. Come on, man. I got like 8 o'clock tomorrow is when the camp starts. He goes, let's go. We'll go to Ybor City, get a couple. Well, we get in 4:30. So I'm saying I'm sleeping on the floor because the hotel room only has one bed. And I get up at 8 o'clock. I get to the Carpenter Complex, and at 8 o'clock, the first thing they do is a 60-yard dash, and I'm still banged up trying to run a 60-yard dash. Things got better as the day progressed, but you know,
you were dead from the start.
I was kind of dead. I had dead legs. 610-632-0975. All right, today is an important day because at 3 o'clock, not only are we having an online ticket rate for FanFest, but we are going to announce the final special guest at 3. I don't know who it is. I've been told it's a major, major announcement. So we'll see at 3 o'clock. You don't want to go anywhere. You want to be listening at 3 o'clock. It's the Mike Missanelli Show, 610-632-0975. That's how you get in.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 100 votes on this one so far early. Are you satisfied with Charlie replacing John Malley, or do you want more moves to be made? 43% say satisfied. 57% would like more moves to be made.
Well, there's going to be more moves made at the end of the year. CY, gone. He can't keep his job. They couldn't make two moves here, so they went with the hitting guy first, because that's the most that's in the news now. They don't hit. Their pitching is mediocre. We already know there's not a lot of talent out there. So, but the hitters seemingly have talent, so they make a change there. But the question is, has Gabe Kapler now lost his lifeline since Mr. Owner, in my opinion, was involved in this one? Now, this is a big show. You don't want to miss it. Tim McManus joins us in the 4 o'clock hour. Jason Stark joins us in the 4 o'clock hour. We will also play for you a little later in this show, probably in the 3 o'clock hour, an awesome angry man on the street meltdown by a well-known news media personality on the streets of Manhattan. It is classic. And it's not just the meltdown we want you to hear. There's an attached theme and question that's involved in this regarding whether it was a kind of a racial slur. And I can speak to that directly, I think.
You absolutely can.
Yes. It's kind of in my wheelhouse. It's kind of in my DNA. And also, we're going to play the press conference, Klentak and Kapler together at the podium on a presser. What time does that start?
They're saying 315.
315. So we'll hear. Klentak will be hamming. And Kepler will go, I totally endorse this move. And I know I'm going to get fired. I totally endorse. Come on, man. Klentak's going to, I guarantee he's going to say, this is my idea.
Yeah, I need.
No, I don't think so, Maddie.
I need Gabe to embrace this.
Well, he's going to put a good face on it. No. That's what he's good at.
No. I need him to embrace it privately.
Yeah, well, he's not going to do that.
He needs to do that.
Yeah, he's not going to do that.
Why
would he do that? He was partly responsible for pushing Charlie at arm's length. They wanted him out of it, you know? They didn't want him around. They kind of, like, tolerated him.
Right, but what this allows him to do is get some baseball wisdom and then hire, assuming he keeps his job. Let's say he keeps his job. Mm-hmm. He should want to surround him. He has the analytics down. Him and the GM, they have that. He should want baseball men around, old school baseball people around him. That's what he should want.
But
it's good to have a mix.
He's an insecurity situation where he's trying to establish himself as a manager. You can't have like a guy who's got that kind of pedigree around you. It makes you uncomfortable.
No. But I'm saying it doesn't have to be Charlie. Charlie's just a stopgap. Uh-huh. I'm saying if I keep my job, the guy doesn't have to be a former manager. Uh-huh. I need a long-time baseball man, though. Okay. Not an analytics man. I need a long time. I don't care if he comes from the minors. He's been doing it for 30 years, though, and he's an old-school, I-can-talk-to-players baseball man.
All right.
That's who I think he needs around
this.
Him.
There's no way he's going to embrace this privately. What he's going to say today, he's going to say all the right things. He's going to say, Charlie projects beautifully with what we're trying to do offensively. That's what he's going to say. I guarantee you. Steele in Ocean City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steele.
Yeah, that's nice to lead off. Let's bring this program a little alacrity right from the leadoff position.
Go ahead, Steele.
All right. The Phillies, in my opinion, the move is window dressing. I mean, Charlie's a nice man, but he's not going to make a hill of beans, Michael, unless he can pitch. I mean, let's face it, the Phillies, they might trot out Larry Boa.
Listen, first of all, it can't get any worse offensively. So whatever he does has got to be more helpful than what Mally was doing.
Well,
He's not going to burden these guys with analytical thinking. He's going to say, go up and hit.
Mike, Harper, Real Muto, Hoskins, they're big bullies. Do you really think a hitting coach means that much?
No, I don't, and I've been on the record. But what this guy constantly emphasized was selective aggressiveness. And when you put a selective in a guy's head, you stop him from his natural ability.
Now, I kind of disagree. You get up there, they're grown men. They've been in the big leagues. They got to the big leagues. You get up there and you rake.
It's not that easy when you have a pitching coach with a philosophy where they're working in the cage. See pitches. Right. That's their whole philosophy, Steve.
I don't think it means a hill of beans. Bird's point, if I may.
Go ahead.
In hindsight, I think the Eagles stuck it up the Cowboys, their right rivals, gulag, by signing Carson Wentz early.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, I mean, they're up against it.
Well, with Prescott?
Yeah, the whole thing. Amari, Dak, Zeke. I mean, these guys are, they're going to be in cat hell for a long time, and it does nothing but just...
Well, it's good then. It's good for the Eagles. I haven't given a thought how it's going to affect the Cowboys negatively because I couldn't care less. To be honest with you, Dak Prescott, Joe Banner has been very active on Twitter, ridiculing the reports that Prescott turned down $30 million because he wants $40 million. Now Banner's inside, so that story may be a bunch of baloey that he wants $40 million.
I think that the 40 is the counter to 30. All along, the people plugged in thinks he wants 34 to 36, which would be more than Carson.
Mm-hmm. He wants more than Carson, huh?
He thinks, absolutely. He wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Well, I guess he's got more experience in the league than Carson, so I guess it's justified that his agent would ask for more than Carson. He doesn't have the same upside as Carson.
Right. But he
has delivered some decent numbers.
Yeah, and he has more wins currently. Mm-hmm. But the problem is you have a wide receiver who wants to be paid as the highest paid wide receiver. You saw what mm-hmm. Thomas just got.
Yeah.
You have a running back who wants a Gurley contract mm-hmm. and a quarterback who wants to be the highest paid all at the very same time. That's why I hope you Cowboys fans enjoy yourselves. I already hate them. So
if there's anybody that deserves more money than running backs are worth, it's Zeke Elliott.
Absolutely.
So, people say, well, the running back position is devalued in accordance with the quarterback and the wide receiver and that kind of, really? Okay, well, you got the best guy on the planet. Well, Saquon is probably the best guy on
but
the
he's one.
Would you rather have Saquon or Zeke?
Me, Zeke.
You really would, huh?
Yes. Because I've seen Zeke do it more. I've seen running backs have good years. Now you ask me 1 year from now and Saquon does it again, I might change my mind.
It's an interesting question.
It's tough that you got to play him 4 times a year. That's not the easiest thing in the world to have to play them 4 times a year.
Oh, we're going to Florida. I haven't heard from my man Henry in a long time. What's up, Henry?
What's up, Mike and Miss?
What's going on, Hank?
I've been to Eport City once. They got a lot of clubs there and everything.
Yeah. They had too many clubs.
Yeah. A lot of crime down there, too. It gets crazy down there over the weekends. I don't even go anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that was in my younger day. I wouldn't go near it now.
Yeah. Charlie Manuel. Is that the coach that took us to the World Series in 08?
Yes.
Now he's coming back to the Phillies, right? Or has he been with the Phillies?
He's a member of the, he's like a technical advisor of some sort, so. They're putting him back in uniform.
I would say the Phillies had to change all their coaching staff.
I think you're going to see the pitching coach go at the end of the year.
Well, what the Phillies should have did, they should have took that pitcher before the Tampa Bay Rays took him, but they didn't. I knew this back in June because they didn't get no good pitchers at all.
Yeah, well, they didn't think they had anybody to trade, or they didn't want to trade any of their. They only have a couple of prospects, and they wanted to hold on to them.
I want to get to the Eagles. You know about me and my Eagles.
Yes.
Now, if Carson Wentz can stay healthy and can study the films, but the other team defense, I think he'll be all right.
I think you're right, brother.
All right, Mike.
All right, Henry. How are things down there in Tampa? You doing all right?
Yeah, it's been like in 103 degrees.
How's the health?
I just got to stop smoking. I got spots on my lungs. I got some
Henry,
smoking.
Come on. Wait, Henry, how old a man are you?
55. I'm going to be 56 in November.
You're 55?
Yeah.
Dude, you got to stop smoking.
I know, it's a bad habit.
Yeah, it's a terrible habit, Henry. Come on, do it for me.
All right, Mike and Miss. You all have a good day.
All right, buddy.
I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, you got it. Well, I underestimated his age. Henry's been calling us for a while.
You've been calling a long time, Henry.
Thought he was a retiree.
That's what I thought. So he's a young man to have spots on his lungs. He's got to cut that smoking.
Yeah. He sounds a lot older than he really is.
Yeah.
He's smoking.
Isn't he?
He's
smoking.
Do that to you, yeah.
Steve in South Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. How you guys doing today?
What's up, Steve?
Mike, I talked to you yesterday. Remember I was telling you I love Bar Rescue like you? And I was
yeah. Well, I watched 2 more of them today.
Yeah, I did too. I watched today. Hey, Mike, listen. You know what? Charlie Manuel is not going to be like, of course, the miracle god, but you know what? He's loved. He is a baseball type man. Imagine if in the next 6 weeks they do, get a little better and they get a little better positive attitude. Maybe the organization might agree to a point that maybe we need to get more baseball guys back in here. And you know what? If Kane gets out of hand temporarily, guess what? Charlie for a couple months, maybe half a season, you never know. But the point is, I watched Charlie from scouting to spring training. He knows that organization inside out. I just think it's a good move. It shakes him up a little bit.
Yeah, it does. I tell you what it does immediately. With these hitters, listen, they might not be able to get it back. But when a move like this is made, when a guy is so heavy on analytics and instruction and philosophy and all that, it lifts a tremendous weight off hitter's shoulders to have a guy who's just the opposite. Who goes, you're a good hitter. I don't have to tell you. Just go up and hit. And it almost frees you in a way.
You know what? I agree. And you know what? He's been down in spring training, so he knows what is available, what's better than worse. And I just think it's good. Like you said, I think there's more that's going to come. It might not be now, but at the end of the season, this is only the beginning.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
This is a move that there's not one person that can think or that will call the day and say, I think it's a terrible move. It's a foolproof move. Like, there's nobody that could possibly be against it. Right? For two reasons. Number one, they think they already have a bad opinion of Mally. Number two, Charlie comes back on a white horse. Riding in.
And the one thing we know about Charlie, even when people thought he was a bumpkin and they used to ridicule him, they knew he knew about hitting.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know if he knew about the double switch and stuff like that, but they knew he knew about hitting even then. Like, we've never doubted that about him. And I don't think guys forget to help guys with hitting. I think he's going to, just what you said, I bet you it worked. I they're not going to score 10 runs a game, but I bet you there's at least a couple players that go, you know what? This Charlie guy saved my season. That's going to happen.
He's going to be able to do stuff like this. All right. He'll look at you guys and hit, and he won't say anything for a while. And on the next round, he'll go, all right, a little shorter stride. You're hitting the ball good, son. A little shorter stride. Yeah, you know, he'll pick up a little thing like that. And that's it. So the guy, all right, we'll start. He's not thinking, I got to give this guy a count. Charlie is more of the Mike Mussinelli philosophy. Aggressively smart.
Look what he did.
Instead of selectively aggressive.
Look what he did for Rollins.
There you go. See it, son? Hit it. Let's go, Gene in Doylestown. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Good afternoon, Michael.
What's up, Gene? How you doing?
Good, man. I got to agree with the point you made earlier in that Mr. Middleton's got to be watching, because I talked to you last week about it, and I said this team was failing the eye test. They were clearly dead in the water, no heart. They had just given up, and I think this is something, a rallying the troops kind of move. Let's bring Charlie in, old school baseball guy. Let these hitters get out of their head and in the batter's box and hit the baseball. You know, simple baseball, 1-2-3. And like you said, until the 5 o'clock hour today, I don't think you're going to get anybody to disagree with this move. But, you know.
No, there's nobody who'll disagree with it.
Who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, and there's no question in my mind this was a Middleton move. No question in my mind. And these guys have to eat a little crap today when they do this presser. Because there's no way Gabe Kapler came off that road trip, called Klimtak and said, you got to get Charlie in here. No way. You know what I'm saying?
And like you said, these guys are in such lockstep that I hope they're in lockstep as they walk out of here at the end of the season, because you can't get rid of one of them. They're both going to have to go, because it's the same philosophy. The two of them see this game the same way. And not that there's anything wrong with analytics, but you got to have some kind of baseball mind to manage a baseball team.
No, it's logical. Now, maybe Middleton exploded on both. You got fired, hitting coach and pitching coach right away. And they talked about, listen, the pitching coach is not going to do us any good firing him at this point. It's too much upheaval because we don't have any arms anyway. And then Middleton probably said, all right, you're right. So just fire the hitting coach. That's probably the way it went.
Hopefully he can help. I look at a guy like Gene Segura, lifetime 300 hitter, and all of a sudden he looks lost up there. And you know, is this part of the reason because of our hitting coach in his head? I guess
possible. Now, do they have enough time to unleash the shackles? I don't think so. But you might see a couple guys get hot now that they're freed up.
We can hope, right?
Gene, you got it, buddy. Yeah, the weight's been taken off the shoulder. They don't have to worry about counts now. All right? They got to trust their natural ability. Without Mally being in their head. And Gabe, who says the same, we need to see pitches, and we're not taking advantage of seeing pitches. And blah, blah, blah. You know, that's that constant flow. And you get hitters going, all right, well, they want me to do this, so I can't buck them. Now the weight's been lifted. Now you can go ahead and just swing.
I wonder if Santana's success, the manager sees, he hit another walk-off hit yesterday to win the game.
Yeah.
And he's always hit, comes here, doesn't hit, leaves, immediately starts to hit again. He would lead the team in like batting average, OPS, all everything he would lead this team with. I wonder if the owner sees that and goes, what the heck's going on? When I had that guy, he couldn't hit at all. He goes back to Cleveland, instantly he can hit again. I wonder if the manager, if the owner sees that, and that's part of the reason. Because he hit it last night.
I think the owner just saw them lose, have a bad road trip. Because if I own a team and they crap out on the road like they did and then lose it on Sunday night the way they did, I'm pissed off too. I want something to happen because he's got people. Like, he hears the fan base. He's not oblivious to it. The fans aren't happy. Let's go to Dennis in South Jersey. Dennis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good.
Let me give my opinion on this. Senior advisor is Pat Gillick. Senior advisor is a general manager. There's two of them, Larry Bower and Charlie Manuel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Middleton, I don't really know a lot about the game. And I think he gave up. I know he gave up listening to Klentek and McPhail. He's been listening to Gullick, Bower, and Manuel. Now, the reason I think they put Manuel in there as hitting instructor is to see what the hell's going on in the dugout. Because the season's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, Charlie Manuel, I love him. The 75, yeah. When he won the World Series, he was 64.
I mean, Charlie serves two purposes. One is a hitting coach, the other is a spy.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought, like, people that suggested they ought to fire Kapler, have Charlie manage the rest of the year so he could figure out what this team, whether his team has a heart that ticks.
I think it's what's going on in the dugout. That's what I think.
Yeah, but they can do it the same way with this. They bring him in, he can give them the same reports.
Yeah, but see, Middleton, he's a business person. And he wants to know what's going on in that dugout. So he said you put Matt. He's listening to Bower, Kellick, and Manuel.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. Middleton allowed himself to be conned by McPhail to give a three-year extension. So
yeah,
I can't give him too much credit. Now, I know he's got a temper. Middleton's got a temper, and he wants to win. I know that. I had several conversations with him. And so I just think he had enough after this San Francisco series.
But why did he give the extension in, what, April, was it?
Because he thought that they were proceeding the right way. And back then, when they put the lineup together, and they started off good, if you recall, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess he got conned into thinking, okay, this is the way to go. I'm going to show some faith. And since then, it's, you know, if the season started in what, June, they would have to be on a 62-win pace.
Yeah.
If they played at that pace since June. So, you got to take note of that.
Yeah, well, I didn't see what you were saying. I seen this coming. I knew they, in February, so they look good on paper, but I don't know. It just don't look great to me. But I think that's why they put Charlie in there, see what's going on in the dugout.
A little spyglass.
I can't wait for the games, because I'm going to keep an eye on the dugout. You know Charlie's going to say something to Kapler.
Yeah, he's got the spyglass out, like Marlo Stanfield. And Marlo's had it. And please have the spyglasses out. Right? Because he, like Marlo, they thought that Marlo didn't know they were on the roof. He's talking to Chris Parlo.
Everything goes back.
They got the spyglass out. 610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli Show back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
Misinelli Show
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Mike Miss here, my lock of the week, McCausland Lock Service. You know, if your car key is broken or if you lost your car key, it's a pain in the butt. So what do? You have to go to the dealership. They're going to charge a lot of money. You're going to be in there for a long time. This is why I suggest you go to McCausland Lock Service. You can get your car key or remote for up to 50% off what you would pay at a dealership. And you're not going to have to wait long either. You walk in, 15 minutes, you're out. McCausland Lock Service is your one-stop shop. For new keys and remotes, they supply, cut, and program. Pay up to 50% less than what you pay at a dealership. It's a no-brainer. Go to where the dealers go. If you need a new car key or a car remote, go to McCausland Lock Service. Write this number down, 610-430-1500. That's 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock Service, located in Prospect Park, PA. Their website, forcarkeys.com. That's F-O-U-R, carkeys.com.
The Mike Misinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. And the best sports talk radio on the planet. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
247. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, the Phillies put out a snarky tweet yesterday. I don't know if it was aimed at me or others. But yesterday I said the release of the schedule. Their 2020 schedule was bad timing, and their tweet was that, and they put it in caps, so somebody wasn't very happy. They put it in caps and said, just so you know, the entire major league teams released their schedules yesterday.
They were taking a lot of heat on Twitter as well.
They are?
Yeah, so it might have been just a blanket statement.
I thought it was to you. When I saw
no, but definitely. You're a part of it, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that all the schedules were released, so I guess you have to release it. But I just thought they did that on their own.
Odd that they would do it.
Timing would have been bad had they done that.
Why would you do it the same day as the NBA and vice versa? It's odd to me that you wouldn't just do it today. But one of the leagues should have done it yesterday, and one of the leagues should have done it today. Yeah. It's odd that they were doing it on the same day.
Steal a little thunder from the NBA. Not that we care about a 162-game schedule. It doesn't really mean anything. Bill in New Jersey on 97.5 Fanatic. Bill.
Mike, good evening.
What's up, Bill?
I got to tell you. I'm usually a late-night guy watching your replays. Today, I could not wait to turn you on, so I'm a live guy. Anyhow, to what you said...
Oh, we were on last night, weren't we? Off day, we had a replay.
I love your replays to chill at night, but today, I'm like, oh, man, I got to jump on this Nelly Live. To your point, I'm a Sunday guy. After that pathetic performance on Sunday against the White Sox a week and a half ago, oh, my God, I'm literally looking at my schedule with my daughter saying... I don't know about you, babe, but I'm making different plans and going to the Phillies games for the next four or five games we have. So that's up early. First, okay, we know Charlie's in here as the batting coach. I got a few thoughts on that. What's the odds he's being put in there to be a mentor? I think there's a good possibility. Not that you're going to change overnight Gabe's methodology of how he approaches the game. But that's a possibility. A mentor to Kapler?
Yeah, I don't think that's Klentak's idea at all. In fact, I think the opposite. I think this is clearly a Middleton move to get their offense going, to speak to your first point, which is there has been some disinterest. Now, if they turn around and start hitting a little bit, at least people will feel decent coming into the ballpark with some home runs.
Are electrified by this move.
Well, there you go. And Middleton's no dummy. He saw that part of it, too.
Absolutely. And the last thing is, you know, what an easy slide in to get rid of Kapler, insert Charlie at the end of the year. He's got his foot in the door.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. They're not going to hire Charlie as a manager. This is a temporary Middleton temper tantrum move.
Okay.
They're not. I don't think they have any idea, desire to have Manuel coach this team. They'll find another guy if they zip Kapler. But if Charlie helps, there's the irony of this whole thing.
Yeah.
If he helps, they become a better team. If they become a better team for the rest of the year, even though they don't get in the playoffs, there's their justification to keep Kapler.
I don't disagree there. Which falls into my mentoring situation. Hey, Mike, love you live, man. Keep up the great.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it, Bill. I mean, it may wind up helping Kapler at the same time he's looking over his shoulder at an old school baseball guy laughing at his moves.
But it will save him. Imagine if they go on a run. The longest win streak they've had is four games. We've talked about it.
Yes.
What if they come out of this and they win the next six?
And it saves Klentak.
It would save them all.
And then Klentak then has to say, okay, Kapler's back. Do I keep Charlie as the hitting coach? Can that possibly work for an entire season? Or will he come up with some other newfangled guy? Because I'll tell you, if he comes up with another newfangled guy, he's slipping off the end of the diving board. If he goes with Charlie, he's safe with the fan base at least. If he brings another nouveau hitting coach in, that guy's going to be under tremendous scrutiny again.
His best bet would find another old school guy. Guy who we don't know, but we know is a baseball. That's how you split the difference. Because you can't bring in an analytics guy. We won't have it. We'll lose it again.
Let's go to Nick, South Jersey. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Nick?
The move, I just heard the Charlie Manuel move when you came on. Did they fire the other guy or what?
Yes.
Okay. I don't even know his name.
John Malley.
The only coach that they have that had any kind of coaching experience that I know is a third baseman.
No, incorrect. Malley was a very successful hitting coach with the Chicago Cubs. He was the next guy, the nouveau hitting coach guru.
Okay, well, you know,
that's why they hired him, but it didn't work here with these players. It worked with the Cubs.
Well, Charlie's seen every kind of hitter there was. Power hitters, line drive hitters, stinky hitters, and it's all about approach and attitude. Somebody's got to tell Hoskins, or you know, you got to start swinging at the first pitch.
Yeah, and this move could help Hoskins more than anybody. I'm thinking more him than anybody else, because Charlie will take a guy like Hoskins and go, "Son, you're a good hitter in this league. Just go out and hit."
Yeah,
you know, and in a way that'll free him a little bit. I think
I watch so many first strike pitches because they seem to know he's not going to swing at a first pitch. I don't know, you know, all that, like, he sees more pitches than anybody in baseball. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, he'll give simple instruction, like, I got to go, son, you got to get a little quicker. A little quicker, you solve it. A little quicker, you get the barrel on it. That's what he'll tell him. Oh, all right. A little quicker. Get the trigger going a little quicker. He's got that leg braise, Hoskins. He's got the simple mechanics, but he's got a leg raise. So maybe it's something there Charlie can see. Mark, Miami, you're on 97.5. All right, Mark, hold on a second. We're going to break. We'll come back because we have a big announcement. 3 o'clock, we're going to drop some bombs on you. At 3 o'clock, first of all, we're going to have an online ticket raid, which we will announce when we come out. It's not open yet. And we'll also have another major announcement. Someone being added to FanFest. I have the envelope right here. It is not open, as you can plainly see. So I don't know what it is until I crack it open at 3. Don't go anywhere. It's my
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.